We've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are in go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the info war.
Majority of the hour, the great Michael Savage, a huge fan of his, learned so much from him, best-selling author on every topic you can imagine, launched the modern nutrition supplement Herbal Revolution. Amazing. My grandfather, like 35 years ago, gave me one of his books. A Savage Nation on X, michaelsavage.com. Heavily attacked and censored, obviously, is the things he says. He was on, not the last time, the time before last, he was talking to top Israeli generals and intelligence, former intelligence heads, and obviously they're not anti-Israel, and they said, no, Netanyahu, he's out of control. He's bit off more than he can chew. Israel has a terrible rating in the Gallup poll, and they're not going to defeat the Muslims right now, and they've already defeated the ones that were surrounding them, so just stop. And stop trying to get us into a full war with Iran. He called it. In fact, I'm going to find that part of the interview and have it added in this in post. We posted on Rumble and X today from the live interview. You're watching it. 12:07 Central Standard Time. But I wanted to get him on at this historic moment, and I really appreciate him giving us the time. He does do a lot of other interviews to talk about this and then talk about the midterms, Trump's approval rating plunging, where we're going. Mark Levin, who is the brains, really the guy that writes everything that the wall hanger, as he calls him, Sean Hannity, who, I'm not trying to be mean to Sean, he's literally retarded, though. But Mark Levin is the brain behind him, and then Mark Levin completely freaking out, calling for a nuclear war, and but admitting this is a big defeat so far for the U.S. The problem is we keep staying in there, in my view. It only gets worse because the Iranians are not vertically integrated. They are parallel, and they've got thousands of people that are related to Muhammad that can be the mullah, and each one you get's worse than the next. And Trump keeps saying, oh, I've got people I can work with now. And then, of course, he can't. And now the ceasefire is falling apart. And so this is a disaster, in my view. And, yeah, highest oil, $150 a barrel. Trump says it's over. Drops the biggest drop in history, $52 in one night. Now they've closed the strait again. As I predicted this morning, it's all off. And just this is a fiasco. It's like watching a Three Stooges movie, but they got nuclear weapons. So that's my take. That's my intro. Michael Savage, please give us your very well-researched historical take on where we are, and hopefully you can give us ideas on how Trump can extricate himself from this disaster, or do we just double down and go to full war and have a 500,000 troops invade Iran? Michael Savage.
Alex, thanks for having me. If I had all the answers, I wouldn't be here. I don't have all the answers. I have some opinions of where we are and where we should be. You have to understand, and I'm sure you do, when I say you, I don't mean it in any derogatory manner. People need to understand the history of the Arab world in order to understand where we are today. It didn't start with Iran, and it's not going to end with Iran. So you have to go back in history to 632, and I don't want to give people a history lesson, they get upset, but that's when Muhammad died in 632. By 656, by the death of Othman, one of his followers, those were considered the great days of the Arabs. They conquered one nation after the other with small armies of 1,000 to 3,000 men. And how did they do it? Through terror, through fire, through rape, through murder. And what was their goal? I mean, I could go through one country after the other.
Oh,
I did
people
it last
love history
night.
Lessons. My audience loves history lessons. You're absolutely right. I mean, this is
I
the
can
Quran.
Do it
the Quran is a battle manual to take over the world.
Yes, 100% correct. They want world domination. I gave them a new name last night in bed in for this show, and I don't know if it's been used before. I called the Arabs the Vikings of the desert because I've studied the Vikings, and I've asked myself, what happened to the Vikings when you look at the Nordic countries? They've been taken over by the Muslims, and the gays and the lesbians are running the Nordic countries. How did where the Vikings go? I guess they're all the guys with beards that were giants are in the coke business, they're in jail, or they're dealing drugs. I don't know where they are. How did the Vikings let their country get taken over? But if you look at the Arabs, I call them the Vikings of the desert. And what do they believe in? Invasion, conquest, plunder, just like the Vikings. They want world domination. The Vikings were not driven by a holy book. They were driven simply by conquest and plunder. The Arabs want world domination. People should know that the word caliph, we all heard the word, they want a worldwide caliphate. Caliph means successor, by the way. They want world domination, and they want to organize and subjugate the whole world to Allah. If people don't understand that, they can't understand where we are today. Now, having said that, Iran also should be understood in its historic context. Iran is a conquered, occupied nation. It's ruled, when you say, by mullahs. They're really invaders. They're Arab invaders. The Persians, as you well know, were practitioners of Zoroastrianism. Christians were permitted to live in ancient Iran. Jews lived in peace with ancient Iran. And then they were occupied by the Arabs, and they were conquered about 637, even though they had a great general, the Persians. And again, they were not Muslims. They were Zoroastrians, by and large. They were conquered. And in those 25 years I mentioned, between 632 and 656, the Arabs conquered one nation after the other, and that included Persia. And after the conquest of Persia, can I go on with this a few minutes, Alex?
Please.
I mean, and so after the conquest of Persia and the subjugation of Persia and the conversion of the population from their indigenous religion of Zoroastrianism to Islam, they went on to the next nation. They conquered all of Persia. And then the Muslim Empire pushed far into Western Turkestan. I'm reading from my own notes. I don't want to make a mistake here. And eastward until I met the Chinese. People don't know there are, when you see regions of China that are Muslim, it's because of that, those years of conquest. They then went into Egypt, and Egypt fell almost without resistance to the new conquerors, who, full of their own fanatical belief in the sufficiency of their book, the Quran, they actually wiped out the vestiges of the book copying industry of the Alexandria Library. Egypt was not a Muslim nation. So then the tide of conquest then poured along the north coast of Africa to the Straits of Gibraltar and Spain. Spain, that's interesting. Spain is a socialist nation right now. Spain has capitulated basically to the Muslims within. You say socialist, but you're saying, when you say socialist in Europe today, Alec, I think you'd have to agree, these are socialists who have knuckled under to the Muslim population that's invaded their nations.
Yeah,
wouldn't you say that's
everywhere true? In the world, the Muslims ally with the communists and the socialists, and it's the Red-Green Alliance.
The Red-Green Alliance. So then Spain was conquered in 710, and the Pyrenees Mountains were reached in 720. That's over a 10-year period. In 732, the Arab advance reached the center of France, but then it was stopped for good at the Battle of Poitiers, and then the Arabs were pushed back as far as the Pyrenees again. So the conquest of Egypt gave the Muslims a fleet of great ships, and for a time, I'm almost through, it looked as though they would take Constantinople. They made repeated sea attacks between 672 and 718, but the great city held out against them. So then we see the Arabs conquered a vast swath of territory from Spain to China, And what happened next is a matter of people studying the rest of the history of these nations. So what does that have to do with today? Unless you understand the mindset of the followers, you don't understand what they're trying to do. They're not fighting for self-determination. They're not fighting the evil empire of America per se. They're trying to take over the whole world and impose Islam on the whole world. That's their belief system. It's that simple. So where does that leave us? What role do we play in this? Well, look at our own cities. Take a look at New York City. They already have, in my estimation, a leader of the Muslim Brotherhood as mayor of the biggest financial capital in the United States of America, if not the world, New York City. How did that happen? How did the Muslim empire expand into New York City with a vile communist Muslim, by the way, not just a Muslim who has peace in his heart? There are many Muslims who have peace in their heart. This one has hate in his heart for everyone except his own people. He's running New York City. How did that happen? He's part of the caliphate, the worldwide caliphate. You think he's going to make New York better? Take a look at New York. It got worse, not better. Putting social workers on the street instead of cops. Anyway, we know the whole story. So what do we do with Iran is the question. You know, yesterday, Alex, I celebrated because it was coincidentally the day that Trump and I know the ceasefire has fallen apart. By now, as we knew, the Muslims would not hold to a ceasefire. They never have in history, by the way. You look at the whole history of truces with Israel. Every truce was broken because they break every truce, in plain English, and they always have a reason for it. They hide their women and children in mosques, and they say that the Jews blew up a mosque by dropping a bomb. They put their soldiers inside a school, and the poor children get killed. They use their women and children as bait, as they just did around the power plants in Iran. That's a tactic that they have used. Anyone who's fought in these wars will tell you the same thing. So what does it have to do with us? Why should we be involved in these wars is the real question that most Americans are asking. Why should American blood be spilled in the Middle East? And that's really the most important question, don't you think, Alex, to all of us today?
No, I mean, I know Islam is a political cult, death cult taking over. I know they bought off the West. And so I wasn't going to cry the Middle's fell, but the estimates were they wouldn't. And then this would hurt the world economy and then make us look like the bad guys. And then everybody goes, oh, you're with the mullahs. No. The way to deal with this is shut down the borders and contain all of this and not put up with it. That's the real invasion. Here's a bigger question then. Where do you think this is going?
I'm not a crystal ball reader, but I have to go back to what you're saying. You're 100% correct. But what do we do about the Muslim invasion of America? I know it's an impolite statement to make. This is not a benign movement in America when you see them bowing down in the streets on their hands and knees and blocking traffic in New York City and other cities. What is that but conquest? Isn't that a sort of subtle conquest?
No, it's marked. No, the calls of prayer and all that's not even subtle. It's open pissing on us. It's marking territory. I get all that. I say what you said 30 years ago. Shut down the borders, deport their asses, cut off the welfare. That's the real way is to protect the West and do that and keep the cancer cells out. I'm being called an Iranian agent because I went with the Pentagon assessment that 92% chance regime change wouldn't happen. They closed the strait, and now they've been put in a position of power. How does Trump extricate from this? Mark Levin wants to go to full nuclear war.
Well, don't mention that person's name to me. I have a vile history with him. He's a vile man.
Well, let's talk about him. Let's stop there because Trump has put out a bunch of posts on Truth Social saying, listen to Mark. He's who I get my advice from. Mark admits he doesn't understand the military. He says, I don't know what to do, but the Pentagon says we can't go in. We'll lose all these troops. We'll use nukes. Here's a short clip of him last Saturday saying, let's use nuclear weapons. And, of course, all the studies show, Rand Corporation and others, that leads to full nuclear war. We can't do that, Mark.
Absolutely.
Here's Mark Levin.
This is a war or a peace mission to stop nuclear weapons that can blow away millions of Americans. Every bit as important as World War II, the Battle of Gettysburg, the Civil War. Over 51,000 casualties in that one battle, about three and a half days. The Battle of Chickamauga, almost 35,000 casualties. Spotsylvania Courthouse, almost 32,000 casualties. The Wilderness, 30,000 casualties. Chancellorsville, over almost 30,000 casualties. Shiloh, 24,000. I could go on and on.
Why is he reading
this? Horrendous casualties. Crucially important wars.
And?
Now, this is a crucially important military operation war. Call it what you want, peace mission.
Alex, I can't watch this fraud. Please turn him off. He makes me sick.
Oh, he calls for nukes. Listen. It's almost over.
He's a sick man. He's a mentally ill person, in my opinion.
and urging them to complete the task so our country is safe from nuclear weapons insane, suicidal primitives from the 7th century.
So, well, you know Mark Levin, you know his history. So who is this guy?
When I was banned from entering Britain, I'm the only member of the American media, as you well know, who cannot enter Britain. I was the canary in the coal mine. Right. You know about that story, Alex?
Of course I know about it. Yes.
Okay. You know about it. Most people don't. Mark Levin went on the radio and said, I got what I deserved. That's Mr. Conservative there. So I don't want to waste my time talking about this empty suit who pretends to be a great genius. What the hell is he quoting figures from the Civil War for? To sound like he's smart? He just likes numbers of dead people? Let's talk about now, rather than this this empty suit that will be forgotten by history. The important thing is, what do we do as Americans today, not what talk show hosts have to say about it, including myself. Yesterday I was saying I was celebrating the truce, and it was in sync with a profoundly significant holiday amongst very, very pious Jews yesterday. People don't know this, where they stayed up all night last night reading from Exodus, where God parted the Red Sea and let the Jews escape Egypt. And then, according to the myth, the Egyptians followed, and then the sea closed in and drowned all of the Egyptian soldiers. So that's the myth of the Dead Sea. The Christians understand that. The children understand that story. But the fact is, it was celebrated last night. And I was saying, it's amazing to me how we're living through biblical times. And I think you, as a devout Christian, despite the fact that we don't know the way out of this at this moment, would have to agree we're living through some biblical history right now, wouldn't you say, Alex?
Oh, 100%. This is historic, super dangerous, and it's crazy.
So last week, let's go back to the airmen who, one was rescued immediately, the F-15 pilot. The backseater was missing, remember, for 3 days? He was alleged to be, he was thought to be dead on Friday, and then he was discovered and came back to life on Sunday and was rescued. To me, that was a biblical story. It was like the death of Jesus on Friday and his rebirth on Sunday. I was sitting here saying, how much more symbolism do we need that God's hand is involved in some of the symbolism? So now we come to today. Well, what does this mean? We have a truce yesterday. I celebrate on the air talking about it, saying hallelujah. The stock market soars, oil drops, and now today we wake up and there they go. They did it again. They did just what everyone feared they would do. They break the truce. And we don't know what is going to happen next. I'm not inside Donald Trump's mind. However, I think we would all have to agree that Donald Trump, despite all of his flaws, despite all of his bluster, despite all of his inconsistencies, is a man of steel. And he will not yield. Alex, he's not going to yield to them. So what do you think he's likely to do is the question. Will he follow the advice of the lunatics who say use nuclear weapons? Tell me what his options are.
Well, that's it. I mean, he needs to make a real deal with Iran, because now they're going back and forth saying they're arguing about the deal. Trump panicked with his $150 a barrel because that will kill the economy of the world,
that's
not
right.
Just us. And so now yes. Iran got emboldened by that. But by the very nature of the fact that we probably couldn't take out the regime, that's why I said don't do it, because it wouldn't work. I said Venezuela may work. Go ahead and do it. It's in our sphere. And so that's where we are. And then now I think Trump may double down with a ground invasion if Iran double crosses and has already closed the Strait of Hormuz again. So this is it's a foreshadowing, hopefully, of peace. I get why we should celebrate. But at the same time, if we don't, it just gets worse.
Okay, so before this all came to the truce, I put out an idea on my social media of how about the art of the deal means a compromise. A deal means a compromise. It doesn't mean killing the other guy and conquering everything and take everything he owns. It means compromise. The art of the deal is a negotiation. And in a negotiation, both sides have to get something out of it, right? We used to hear win-win in the 70s. So the Iranian mullahs needed something, right? So I suggested they have to have something in this deal. Let them be the toll takers in the Strait of Hormuz and charge a reasonable fee for every ship that passes through the strait, and to give them something. People say, oh, no, you can't give them anything. Well, what kind of deal is it going to be? So I don't know whether that's why the deal fell apart. Maybe they weren't given that. I thought that they were going to charge a toll, but then, of course, they asked an extortionist amount for each ship, which couldn't work. But what if they were given a reasonable amount for each ship? I mean, we have tolls in America, don't we? I'm sorry, we have tariffs.
And that was agreed to. They could have $1 million per ship, but here's the thing.
Wait, but we have tariffs. We use tariffs the way they should use tolls, is what I was saying. People may not like hearing that. Trump's tariffs are like tolls, in essence. Do what I want, or I'll hit you with a tariff. So if the Arabs see that, they say, okay, we want to be paid for every ship that goes through our territory, right? So
well, that's the deal. Iran gets $1 million, the Arabs get $1 million. And what I'm saying is, what Trump needs to say, and what J.D. Vance did say, is your military's basically been 90% destroyed. You're rolling the dice, make a deal now, stop all the regional attacks, and then, yeah, you can rebuild with this toll and move forward. But the issue is both sides, Israel and Iran, kept shooting at each other. And no one's even sure because, like you said, the war started thousands of years ago. So it's just ongoing. That is the problem now. And so we're all being sucked deeper into it. And I think Iran should calculate, no, in the end, if they make America double down, they're going to end up losing. But it'll be a Pyrrhic victory for us because of the economy.
Trump should have demanded Netanyahu stop the war in Lebanon, period. End of story. That should have been part of the deal. No matter what the hell was the provocation was, they should have reined Netanyahu in my opinion. That doesn't mean that I don't support the survival of the Jewish people. I do. But the Jewish people, even in Israel, are not 100% behind Benjamin Netanyahu, and people should understand that. And 5 weeks ago, I said, is there not a war hero in Israel? A general who fought in combat who is on the side of peace rather than on endless war. And there are some, and they're called liberals, and they're not in power. So Israel's not a monolithic nation, and not 100% of the Israelis like Netanyahu's endless wars, by the way. Now, I know that a lot of people are going to say, well, how could you attack Netanyahu because he's only one man? He doesn't represent the entire nation of Israel. There are 4-star generals, certifiable war heroes in the IDF, who would have stopped bombing Lebanon. Now, why didn't they listen to Trump? I guarantee you that Trump demanded that they stop, and they did it anyway.
No, Michael, you're right. That was part of the deal that they would stop, but Netanyahu said no. Exactly. Israel's already won. They've got to stop. Biting off Iran's too much. Let's come back and talk about that when we come right back. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies, the delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact? Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health. With Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.